appreciate so much you coming and listening for this 2 hours. A good Bible study I think we've had. I hope you'll take what we said and study for yourself and find out what the Bible actually says. Johnny repeated his point that 1 Corinthians, the whole book, the whole, entire context is dealing with unity. Well, of course, that's just his opinion, but let's just assume that it's so. Even though the whole context, the whole book is dealing with unity, if Paul can talk about individual Christians and their responsibility to have sexual relations with their wives, their spouses, 1 Corinthians 7, 3-5, even though the whole context is talking about Christian unity, then I suppose he could forbid eating a common meal in the church assembly if he wanted to, even though the whole context is talking about unity, couldn't he? He says, Johnny says, when can the Church of Christ not do what Jesus said? Johnny, simply put, making an argument he doesn't even believe. He doesn't believe the church can do hardly anything that Jesus did. For example, John 13, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Does Johnny believe in washing the disciples' feet as some of the Pentecostals do in the church services as the church? Jesus ate the Passover. Does he believe the church eats the Passover? I'm not talking about the Lord's Supper, I'm talking about the Passover. Does Jesus kept the Sabbath? Does Johnny believe we have to keep the Sabbath? Jesus told a cleansed leper to show himself to a priest. Does Johnny think the church should do that? Jesus authorized his disciples in Matthew 10 to teach the limited commission, only preach to the Jews and not to the Gentiles. Johnny doesn't think the church ought to do that. Jesus practiced John's baptism, John the Baptist's baptism. Johnny doesn't believe the church practice is to do that. So Johnny, simply put, does not believe his own argument. That's an unsound argument and will not justify the church using its money for fun, food, and frolic. You're going to have a passage instead of this unsound reasoning. Then Johnny brought up dinner on the ground. So let's parallel to that something, since we don't have the horse and buggy today, let's parallel it to something that he brought up that's more parallel that happens today. The preacher goes to a study, and he spends all day there studying. Could he take his lunch and eat the lunch? Yes, he could. Could, while he's eating his lunch, or while he's even studying, listen to music on the radio. Perhaps it's just instrumental where it doesn't disturb his studies. Could he do that? Yes, he could. But does that authorize the church having a secular music concert? If listening to the radio by the preacher in the study doesn't authorize having a secular music concert, then why would eating his lunch while he's studying authorize a church social meal? The reasoning on one would prove the other. I predict Johnny won't address that. It's the same argument he brings up the water fountains, the restrooms and the water fountains. The reason we have restrooms and water fountains in the building is to facilitate worshiping God in the assembly. The reason churches have kitchens in the building is to facilitate church social meals. We have authority, put up number 28, Tristan. We have authority for the worship in the assembly. Therefore, the building is authorized, which includes restrooms and water fountains. We don't have authority for the church social meals. Therefore, the kitchen is not authorized. I'm surprised Johnny's making some of these arguments. He said, if we can buy the Lord's Supper bread from the church treasury, then why not for the social meal? If not, why not? Johnny, that's easy. Every single person here can answer that question. Because one is authorized and the other isn't. 1 Corinthians 11, 17-34, and Acts 20, verse 7 authorizes the church, since it's supposed to eat the Lord's Supper, therefore they can pay for the bread for the Lord's Supper. But we don't have the church authorized to do fun, food, and frolic, church social meals. Therefore, they can't pay for the bread for a church social meal. That's easy. And then everybody turn again to Acts 2, verse 46. He said, I'm basically just splitting up what the individual and what the church is to do there. And that's because the Bible does that a lot. The Bible can be talking about the church collectively doing something and then talk about the individuals of the Christians doing something. For example, in Acts 2, verse 45, it says they sold their possessions and goods. Who sold the possessions? Who's the there? It's a plural pronoun. Is that the church selling what the church owned as a whole, like this church here owns this building, this property? It's owned by the church collective. Or is this talking about the individual Christians who happen to be part of a church? Who sold the possessions? Individual Christians. So when we get down to verse 46, isn't it easy to see that the church, that as far as I know, 3,000 people, met in the temple, that's probably the church assembly, but then they ate from house to house. Who's that? That's the individuals, the first 45, who sold their possessions. You know, this passage, he keeps bringing up this proof, but look at it. This is exactly what my brethren do. We come together for worship, in quote, the temple, the church building. And then we eat our meat from house to house. That's exactly what we do. This passage is saying what you guys don't do. this passage is an affirmative argument for me. It describes exactly what the non-institutional churches do. We come together and meet as a church. If there were 3,000 of us, I don't know if there are any churches that big, if there were, we'd all meet together in the church building for the assembly. We'll call it the temple. And then we eat our meat from house to house as individuals. This is exactly what we do and exactly what you guys don't do. Actually, you do it. You meet in the church building. You eat food from house to house. I'm sure individuals get together from house to house. But you do one other thing that's not mentioned in this passage. The church then eats. And this passage says nothing about that. Number 18, Christian. Good argument, Johnny. This needs to be brought up. In Acts 20, verse 7, it talks about Paul preaching and they ate the Lord's Supper. Then in verse 9, Eutychus fell down from the third loft. And then we have Paul eating in verse 11. So according to Johnny, that means the church can eat in the assembly, or possibly he's saying the church can eat a meal in the church building, a social meal, since Paul was eating. Well, assembly worship evidently ceased when Eutychus fell down from the loft. The assembly broke up. In verse 7, it says Paul preached unto them. But in verse 11, notice the difference. Paul, not the church, it says Paul ate and talked a long while. Does that sound like the church assembly there? When it says Paul ate, it didn't say the church ate. When it says Paul ate and talked a long while, does that sound like the church is eating and you're in the church assembly? Is that what y'all do in your church assemblies? When you're having the meal, if you were to do it in a church assembly, is that what you're doing? Does that sound like a church assembly? Paul ate and talked a long while. It doesn't sound like it to me. And then he said it authorized, I guess he was saying, since that's under dispute in this debate, that this authorized the church using the building for common meals. I will admit here, Paul ate a common meal. That's what this is. He ate and talked a long while. That's what we do in our common meals. Did you read anything here about the church building, the church doing this? Isn't this kind of like the reason the Methodists used for baptism being sprinkling? For infant baptism? You know, it's like this could have been a church building. There's no evidence that it was a church building. It's the same about a church building. Most of the time they met back then, it was either the barn from the temple, the Jews, or the house to house. I don't know if they even owned any church buildings back then, but he acts like it's a church building. It could have been a church building. When Acts 16:15 says Lydia's household was baptized. Do some households sometimes have infants? That's the method of reasoning. Therefore, you can baptize infants. It could, that household, Lydia's household, could have had an infant in it. And they were baptized. Therefore, you baptize infants. This could have been a church building. Paul ate a common meal. Therefore, you eat a common meal in the church building. Exactly the same reasoning as the method. Not one whit of difference. If you can tell me the difference, you let me know. And then he said in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11, Paul is talking to the church. Therefore, it had to be talking about meals eaten by the church. Well, I asked Johnny a question, he didn't answer it. That means then if you're eating a meal that's not part of the church, not in the church building, or not in the church assembly, if you're just eating a meal at home, that you can invite that adulterer, the one who has his father's wife, who's been withdrawn from, and you can eat with him there because it's not a church meal, just an individual meal? According to Johnny's reasoning, you could, because this is just talking about church meals, according to him. What Johnny realizes, and he knows, but he ignores to make this argument. He had to ignore something he believes to make this argument. What he knows is when you have a book written to the church, sometimes it may be talking to the church and telling the church something to do, or sometimes it may be talking and telling the individual Christians in that church what to do. He's right. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2 says this letter was written to the church of God. This letter was written to the church. Again, let me go back to 1 Corinthians 7, 3 through 5, where it tells the husband and wife to render due benevolence to one another. Talking about their sexual relations. Does that mean the church is doing that? Or does that mean he wrote a letter to the church and then he gives in the letter instructions to individuals who are members of the church? Certainly know what he's doing in 1 Corinthians 7, 3 through 5. Johnny agrees with me on 1 Corinthians 7, 3 through 5. It's not talking about the church. It's to have sexual relations. So Johnny realizes that. He realizes that point, but he had to ignore that point in order to make his argument, 1 Corinthians 5 or 11. He had to ignore and pretend he didn't believe that and understand that in order to make that argument. Because he said 1 Corinthians 5, 11 has to be talking about the church meal because the book is written to the church. And then he basically said, Pat's view doesn't have common sense. Pat's view doesn't have common sense. I think the view, my view, is common sense. If you can use the church money for fun, food, and frolic, church social meals, then it never ends on what you could use it for. You could use it for ice skating rinks, a big church to build an 18-hole golf course. They could build a horse racing track. That's what doesn't make any common sense. But you know, it's not important whether or not it makes common sense. In Nahum, in 2 Kings chapter 5, he was told, because he had leprosy, to dip in the Jordan River 7 times. He didn't think that made any common sense. He said, there's better rivers than the Jordan River that are nearer me, probably cleaner and bigger. The rivers are far apart. It didn't make any common sense for him to go and wash in this piddly little Jordan, muddy Jordan River. But God didn't expect him to follow his own common sense. The wisdom of God is far above the wisdom of man. God expected him to do what he said, and he said, go wash in the Jordan River 7 times. You know, Johnny knows that. Johnny knows that we're not supposed to go by our own common sense, but we're supposed to go by what's revealed. And what's revealed is that when we're told about a church social meal in the assembly, common meal, we're told not to do that. We're told to eat it at home. Let me go back. Hold my time, Jason.
You got a stopwatch, don't you?
Okay, Jason. Let me go back to this chart. In 1 Corinthians 14:35b, talking to the women, it is said, let your women keep silence in the churches. Verse 34. In verse 35, it ends with, it is a shame for women to speak in the church. In the middle of that, verse 35, he says, if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. Now, Johnny made the point that this was talking about the spiritual gifts and prophesying and about singing today. And if I accepted everything he said on that, and I don't, but if I did, it wouldn't make any difference to my point. My point was, what was he telling the women to do here? Whether or not this applies today is not necessarily relevant. John, what's relevant is when he told the women, if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. What he's saying, the only place they can ask the question is at the house, and it has to be with your husband. He's not saying that. It'd be all right for the woman at that time to ask the local preacher, the regular preacher at a restaurant, wouldn't it? That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, don't ask the question in the church assembly. Wait until after it's over. And a good place to do that, a typical place to do that, would be at the house. That's what we all know that he's saying. All of us. Whether or not that applies today has no bearing on the issue. Now, let's look at the exact same phrase in 1 Corinthians 11. If any man hunger, let him eat at home. What does that mean? Does that mean that the only place we can ever eat a meal is at home, a house, and can't eat at the restaurant? No. But what it does mean, looking at it first, what you believe it, the same phraseology means in 1 Corinthians 14, it does mean he's not to eat that common meal, the meal to satisfy hunger, in the church assembly. Aren't those exactly the same? Don't you believe exactly what I believe about 1 Corinthians 14? That it means he's not to ask the question in the church assembly? Well, if you do, it's the exact same phrase in 1 Corinthians 11. You're not to eat the common meal in the church assembly. Now, he said, Johnny made an argument. He thinks he believes this, but he doesn't really believe it. He said, if this means what Pat believes, and this has nothing to do with the issue, but Pat, I do believe it applies today. He's basically saying, if this applied today, then women today couldn't sing in the assembly. Has nothing to do with the issue whether or not it applies today that we're talking about tonight. Because even if it only applied back then, it meant the woman was not asked the question in the church assembly. And so 1 Corinthians 11 means we're not to eat the common meal in the church assembly. But I don't agree with him that it doesn't apply today. He said that would mean that women couldn't sing today. He doesn't know it yet, but I'm fixing to point out to him he doesn't agree with that argument that he just made. Because if that argument is true, then that would mean back in the days when it did apply, the women couldn't sing in the assembly. He said, if this applies today in 1 Corinthians 14, the women can't sing in the assembly. But he thinks this does apply, it did apply back then. So according to his own reasoning, the women couldn't sing in the assembly back then. He doesn't believe that. Now, he didn't know. He had never thought about it through. He thought through that that was inconsistent, that he was inconsistent to say this can't apply today because women couldn't sing in the assembly. When he thinks it applied back then, but he thinks the women couldn't sing in the assembly back then. Now he knows he's inconsistent. He shouldn't make that argument. He can't make that argument honestly anymore. He did a while ago, he made it honestly, but he can't make it honestly anymore because it contradicts what he believes on something else. Okay, how much time do I have left, Jay?
6 minutes.
And then he said, Homer Haley, one of our brothers who's passed away, doesn't say where to get the money for evangelism. You know, Johnny used that quote by Haley against my position tonight, and he doesn't agree with Haley on that. Now, why would a man get up here and make an argument from Homer Haley? He doesn't agree with Haley, but he used the argument against me as if he did agree with it. Haley's not right. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2 tells us how to get the money into the church treasury. Many passages tell us how to use the money. Many passages tell us how to use the money. Tristan, put up number 2. Colossians 3, 17, whatever you do in word or deed, go on in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's the central issue tonight. you brethren are doing something that's not authorized. The Bible, New Testament, never authorizes using the church money for fun, food, and frolic, like church social meals, Super Bowl viewing parties, ice skating. Never does. Here's the thing that I can find the church is authorized to use its money for. Preaching the gospel, Philippians 4 and many other passages. Helping needy saints, 1 Timothy 5:16, other passages. Facilitating the worship assembly, Hebrews 10:25, other passages. It never authorizes using the church money for fun, food, and frolic, like church social meals and ice skating, Super Bowl viewing parties and such like. Haley's simply wrong. 1 Corinthians 16 tells us how to get the money in the treasury. These other passages tell us all the different reasons we can use the money for. And of course, Johnny brought the water fountain, and we've already replied to that. If you can have a water fountain in the church building, that's where that authorizes the church social meal. Well, according to that, kids playing chase in the parking lot authorizes the church ball team, which Johnny doesn't agree with. He doesn't believe in gymnasium. The teens discussing a popular movie in the foyer means we can have a church movie theater, according to that reasoning, because we can have a water fountain, that authorizes church social meal. Men talk about football in the foyer, therefore the church can have a football stadium. Women discuss recipes in the foyer, therefore we can have a church cooking school. You see, it's by the same reasoning all these would be authorized. A brother instructs another on plumbing while fixing the toilet, therefore we have a church plumbing school. The preacher's son plays tic-tac-toe or a video game on the computer while he's waiting on his dad to go home. Therefore, that authorizes a public video game festival. The deacon's wife listens to the radio while cleaning the building. Therefore, we can have a secular music concert. And the church can host it and sponsor it, according to Johnny's reasoning, that since we have a water fountain, we can have a church social bill. And the man briefly rubbed his sore bicep while listening to the sermon. Therefore, we can have a church massage parlor. Does Johnny agree with these things? No. This argument wouldn't be effective if he agreed with these things. My whole point is, Johnny, you don't agree with these things. And by the way, that's number 26. I'm sorry, 26, Tristan. That you don't agree with these things. But Johnny's reasoning, based upon the water fountain, would say these other things are okay. And then Johnny tried to justify church social meals because you're having fellowship. Well, Wigram Green defines the word fellowship as a verb, to share, as a noun, partnership and fellowship, adjective, generous or liberal. A good working definition for church fellowship in the New Testament is spiritual sharing. Brethren, you're using fellowship to talk about your church social meals, but you're not using the word fellowship in the Bible way. The word fellowship, koinonia, doesn't refer to visiting and having fun. Is there one place in the New Testament where church koinonia refers to social meals or recreational activities? You find it. Eating food does not edify spiritually, Romans 14, 17. Instead, feasting on the Word of God, Acts 20, verse 32, does. That was 22. Put 22 up there, Tristan. Sorry, there's your definition for fellowship. I'm not being very good about this, because when I type them in the computer here, I'm assuming you're seeing them, but I'm not. I have to tell him the numbers. Notice, if fellowship, that word, and that's exactly how Johnny justified the church social meals toward the end of his speech. We're having fellowship, and of course everybody knows the Bible wants Christians to have fellowship. If that word fellowship, or socializing, that's how he's defining it, justifies social meals, then why can't we have the Super Bowl parties and a giant widescreen TV? Can't you, just like in those church social meals you guys have, and you're visiting, can't you visit at the Super Bowl viewing party and visit and have that kind of fellowship? What about a piano recital? That would justify having a concert piano in the church building. What about, couldn't you have that kind of fellowship, visiting, socializing, and have a Shakespeare play? Therefore, you could have an acting stage. Church-sponsored checker tournaments, a game room. Because you can have fellowship at a checker tournament, your kind of fellowship, you know, socializing and visiting, the same as you can at a church-sponsored social meal. Basketball games? I've had a lot of that kind of fellowship. Not Bible fellowship, but that kind of fellowship, the way y'all define it, playing basketball. That would authorize the church to have a family life center, a gymnasium. You can have fellowship while swimming. I mean, socializing. That's what I mean by that kind of fellowship he's talking about. You can have a swimming pool. You can have the kind of fellowship he's talking about, just socializing while you're playing golf. Church could sponsor an 18-hole golf tournament. And Ron and Jim and I would play on it every day if they did. Church-sponsored horse racing track would be authorized, according to this Johnny's argument, because you can have fellowship while watching a horse race. I mean, his kind of fellowship. I'm not talking about New Testament fellowship. A church-sponsored movie theater, because you can have fellowship, his kind, while watching a movie. You can do anything. I'm sorry, that's supposed to be number 23, Tristan. 23. You can do anything. Just fill in the blank. Because you can visit, and you can socialize while you're doing that. Why would it? Johnny said the church social meals are authorized because we're having fellowship, meaning we're socializing, getting together, talking. Well, you can do any of these things while you're doing it. You can, and visit while you're doing that. You can socialize and have fellowship. Put it number 7, Tristan. Here's why we don't do that. Here's what Jesus thought about adulterating the spiritual. Here's what Jesus thought about Johnny's common sense argument, and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the table. And he said unto them that sold doves. Is it wrong for an individual to sell the doves? No, it wasn't wrong in and of itself. But they were adulterated and spiritual. Take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Isn't providing church social meals, ice skating parties and all whatnot at the church, isn't that doing the same thing in principle of what Jesus was talking about here, adulterating and spiritual? I submit to you that it was. Thank you very much for paying attention to what I'm saying. Appreciate you coming. And Johnny has one more speech. I want to encourage you to listen to that. But I just wanted to tell you, I appreciate you sitting through this Bible study. Study for yourself. I could be wrong, but the Bible is right, and you know that.